ISONE gives update on asset condition reviewer role, written by John Lamson, and read by an automated voice. ISONE has identified 9 projects to include in an interim asset condition review process starting in October, which will proceed as the RTO works to stand up internal condition review capabilities by the start of 2027. The asset condition reviewer is envisioned to provide an independent review and opinion of asset condition projects submitted for review by the TO's transmission owners. Al McBride, ISO New England Vice President of System Planning, told the ISONE Planning Advisory Committee, or PAC, on October 23. ISO New England agreed to take on the role following pressure from states and consumer advocates, who have expressed concern about a lack of oversight and transparency on spending by transmission owners to upgrade existing assets. Asset condition spending has increased significantly in recent years, which transmission owners say is due to escalating costs associated with maintaining aging grid infrastructure. The RTO has emphasized that it will not take on a regulatory role or comment on the prudence of investments. Asset condition spending is under FERC jurisdiction and is processed through formula rate procedures. The new role, McBride said, would inform states, stakeholders, and PAC attendees with holistic information and much more insight on these projects. While ISONE will not comment on the question of whether the costs of any given asset condition project are prudent, it plans to offer opinions on whether transmission owners have adequately demonstrated project needs and whether they adequately evaluated alternatives. ISONE is seeking feedback on the proposal by November 21 on the objectives of the role, governance structures, criteria for project review, stakeholder involvement, and how reviews would fit in with transmission planning processes. Asked whether ISONE plans to employ a cost threshold for reviewing projects, McBride said, "At this point, we expect that there would be a threshold, but that has not been decided, and we're open to feedback." Several stakeholders said they are eager to get into discussions about how the new role could inform efforts to right-size transmission projects. "Those discussions will come, but they will come in the right order, which we think is after we've had some time to establish the asset condition reviewer itself," McBride said. ISONE plans to rely on consultants to evaluate projects prior to the official rollout of the new asset condition reviewer role. It has selected 9 proposed projects to review during this interim period. Eversource's rebuild of Line 1677-71 in Connecticut, estimated to cost more than $120 million. Eversource's rebuilds in the West Medway/West Walpole corridor in Massachusetts, estimated to cost more than $75 million. Eversource's underground cable modernization plan in the Boston area, a multi-phase project the New England States Committee on Electricity has estimated will cost in the range of $8 billion to $9 billion. Avangrid's cable replacements on a line in southern Connecticut, estimated to cost more than $100 million. Rhode Island Energy's rebuild of Line 332, estimated to cost more than $75 million. National Grid's rebuild of Line 323 in eastern Massachusetts, estimated to cost more than $75 million. National Grid's partial rebuild of Line 394-397 in northeastern Massachusetts, estimated to cost more than $100 million. Vilco's partial rebuild of Line F206 in Vermont and New Hampshire estimated to cost more than $50 million. Vilco's Highgate converter replacement estimated to cost more than $500 million. The ISO is targeting a 3-month review period for each project, except for the underground cable modernization plan, McBride said. These interim projects would be reviewed between early November 2025 and the end of 2026, as the TOs bring those selected projects forward to present and discuss at the PAC. ISONE has asked for comments on the interim project list by November 7. Asset condition project presentations. Also at the PAC meeting, several representatives of transmission owners discussed asset condition project proposals. From Eversource, Chris Sutterman presented a $143 million project to fully rebuild a 115 kilovolts line in central Connecticut. He said a full rebuild instead of targeted structure replacements would address the immediate needs along with future asset condition needs by replacing structures that are deteriorating and likely to require replacement in the near future. The project is included in the interim review list presented by ISONE at the meeting. Sutterman said the project is needed to address multiple structure concerns including foundation damage, structure deterioration, and rust. Of the 83 structures on the affected lines, Eversource estimated about half require planned replacement or emergency replacement. He said the condition of the other structures warrants consideration of replacement in conjunction with other structure replacements. Sutterman added that, without a full rebuild, the company likely would have to return to the PAC with a follow-up project within 2 or 3 years to replace the remaining structures. Eversource plans to bring the proposal for a follow-up presentation at the PAC in the second quarter of 2026, with construction scheduled to begin in early 2027. Multiple PAC members expressed concern about the high-per-mile costs of the project, and Sheila Keene of the New England States Committee on Electricity, or NESCO, asked for more granular information on cost drivers for the project. Rafael Panis of National Grid presented a cost update on a transformer replacement project in Bridgewater, Massachusetts. The project includes replacing a transformer, refurbishing a transformer, replacing multiple circuit breakers, and upgrading associated equipment. The project cost has increased from the 2022 estimate of about $26 million to nearly $38 million. The higher cost estimate is driven by inflation, escalation, and a longer construction duration, Panis said. Fabio Dallarto, lead engineer for transmission planning at ISONE, presented an update to the asset condition database. He said transmission owners have added 21 new projects totaling $228 million since the last update in June. He added that 12 projects totaling $443 million have been placed in service since the last update. Copperweld shield wire replacements. Dave Burnham of Eversource discussed the company's strategy for replacing Copperweld shield wire in its service territory. He said the company has found Copperweld shield wire to have a failure rate about 6 times higher than other types of shield wire. Copperweld shield wire was once an industry standard but has been prone to failure, and it is increasingly difficult to obtain replacement equipment, he said. Since 2018, Eversource's primary strategy to address Copperweld shield wire concerns has been to replace Copperweld shield wire in conjunction with projects that also address other asset condition needs, Burnham said. Eversource estimates that most Copperweld shield wire will be removed by 2030. Eversource's practice is to replace copper wire with Alumoveld and optical ground wire, or OPGW. In most cases, OPGW is preferable to Alumoveld because it has similar costs and provides additional telecommunications capabilities, Burnham said. He noted that Eversource mistakenly presented incorrect data on Copperweld shield wire in 11 asset condition presentations to the PAC between 2021 and 2023. These presentations incorrectly provided results from testing of copper conductor and extra high-strength steel shield wire performed in 2018, Burnham said. Test results from Copperweld shield wire performed in 2022 showed failure of tensile elongation test, not rated breaking strength test, corrosion or signs of overheating. Keene of NESCO said it is concerning that we were presented incorrect evidence to support a certain approach, and expressed her hope that this is the type of thing that an asset condition reviewer will be looking at.